What's up?
How's it going, Clipper Nation?
Are you there, Clipper Nation?
It's us.
It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
Man.
Oof.
Rough.
Tough go last night.
Really, really rough game. Yeah. I don't even know. We have a recap.
Of the Spurs loss?
If you are not a fan of pouring salt in your wounds, you know, maybe just plug your ears for a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's only going to be about an 8-minute recap or so.
We're going to have a recap of that for you, and then we're going to get into a preview of the game against OKC, which...
We'll bounce back.
Yeah, I'm both excited and scared about. And then we're going to wrap up with everybody's favorite Friday segment, Pacific Division Rankings, followed by Love, Marry, Kill.
Who are we killing?
So we're going to be Love, Marry, and Killing the bench this week. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right now.
So, if you didn't watch the game last night and you only
good for you,
yeah, and you only heard about it from your mean coworkers who might be Lakers fans, the Spurs and Clippers played a professional basketball game that the Clippers lost 125-87,
almost 40 points.
I wrongly retweeted out that we lost by 40. Someone was very mad about that.
I mean, it was darn near 40.
It was damn close. I mean, I predicted we would win by 18
or
something
like that. It's like your friend on their 28th birthday being like, no, not 30 yet.
Yeah, you're like, you're 30. I thought we were going to win by about 15. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Going to do some quick stats for you guys to get these out of the way.
Before we even go into the stats from last game, I just want to bring up a general point.
Yeah.
A real downtrodden note.
For sure.
Just kick this thing off, right?
Let's do it.
Clippers have only scored above 100 points one time in the last five games. And that, in case you didn't know, was against the Phoenix Suns.
In a game that...
We nearly lost.
So, yeah, that's not tight. Quick stats from this game. Tobias led the Clippers with 17. Bradley and Gallo each had 15. Shea had 13 going 6-for-8.
Shea did look very good.
That was tight.
I feel like that's always... That is the consistent bright spot
in
amongst
terrible games.
All of these terrible losses is that we have seen some really great performances from Shea. He looks a lot more aggressive scoring.
Yeah.
He's doing his best on the defensive end. He got cooked a couple times. At least he didn't fall on the ground like Avery Bradley did.
Yeah, a lot of people on the flopping on the ground. Aldridge led all scorers with 27. Rudy Gay had 21.
They looked great last night.
The Spurs looked really good last night. They played their game.
They played their game. They executed very well. LaMarcus was, he was cranking threes. He could score from anywhere.
We were doing this fun thing where we'd leave LaMarcus Aldridge open in the mid-range.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah.
Always good to see. This was another... classic frustrating Clippers game where we
definitely
didn't show up on either end of the floor.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure everything, if you want to go back and look at our game preview to fact check this, basically everything we said was we were going to need to do to win. We did the opposite of. We couldn't keep Rudy Gay or Bryn Forbes away from the three-point line.
Yeah. Spurs have something pretty special in Bryn Forbes, I think.
Absolutely.
He looks so great in that system. It was a really good pick.
Very rarely does an undrafted player like snap into a system well.
Especially the Spurs.
Yeah.
This game also continued this not fun trend of teams shooting an insane percentage against us.
Yeah, I believe they shot something like 63 or 65% in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I want to chalk up to just being luck, but when it happens again and again, it doesn't really seem like that's the case.
Yeah.
I know that we're in the midst of reworking our kind of defensive scheme, so I'm sure there's some growing pains from that.
I'm also like, why though? We won so many games with the seemingly old defensive scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we wanted to put these new folds in it. People who know more about basketball can enlighten me about that. The Spurs ended up shooting 58% for the whole game, which is hard to compete with, whereas we shot 37% on just one less field goal attempt.
Not great.
You're not going to win any games with that. It was cool to see we took 31 threes.
Yeah.
Which was a little... that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
That was a nice deviation from our... usual like 22 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The shots just weren't falling. It's hard to kind of analyze a game when you just get housed.
Yeah, we got housed. I mean, a big issue was definitely in the fast break. They were snagging, they were a black hole when it came to rebounds.
Yeah.
Any shot that was not made pretty much got turned into a fast break point.
Yep.
Yeah, really, really difficult to watch. In the paint, we did get outscored by 12, which was actually, it felt worse than that.
Yeah, our guys missed, especially early on in the first quarter, I think in the first like 8 minutes or something, every single shot we had around the rim just didn't go in.
Yeah, so let's unpack this for a second, because I think that like shots not falling from the mid-range or from three, I can kind of understand. You know, yeah. you don't always have your rhythm. You know, shooters go on cold streaks.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
What I can't understand is like how no one apparently has any touch around the rim anymore.
Yeah, Gortat had a couple where he like pawed at it and it just bounced around. Trez was missing stuff around the rim, which is so not really good for our bench.
Yeah, yeah, really not great to watch.
But yeah, the around the rim, it was just baffling. It was like our hands were just made of stone.
It was just really hard because it's like, I don't know, if we can't make shots fall and we can't score inside.
Where do you score from?
The only other option is to stop every other offensive yeah. point, as we've talked about before.
Which is hard to do.
Which is very hard to do against the Spurs.
And our bench, no one scored more than six on the bench.
No.
Trez's slump, which we had mentioned in the matchups, did not get broken.
No.
He was not busting a slump, if you will. Something... There's something weird with his energy. Was good.
It was.
He did have a lot of.
He took
really
a couple
energy.
Shots early on, and he seemed like kind of galvanized by that.
Yeah,
got a couple free throw opportunities. It just wasn't really able to build on any sort of momentum or anything kind of positive.
Yeah, his game looks clunky. The whole team kind of looks. I mean, obviously because we haven't been playing well, the vibe just looks so off.
Yeah,
like no one really looks comfortable. It feels like these guys are like. We talked about earlier in the season how nice it was these guys were such a close, tight-knit team. And
yeah.
that feels like it's kind of not drifting away, but I don't know. It doesn't feel as jovial and integrated.
I agree. And this is actually the thing that's more troubling to me than the losses themselves is the way that the team seems to be almost like in a funk or something now. It doesn't yeah. seem to have the same chemistry. And definitely there's not the same fun. That's there.
Yeah, and we're just getting blown. That's the other thing. We're just getting blown out.
Back-to-back blowouts.
Like,
yeah.
I stopped watching the game because I had to go buy some groceries or whatever, and then I looked up, and we were just almost down 20. And it sucked because in that moment, I was like, we can't come back. Which
yeah.
is on me. I will say that. It was a bit pessimistic, but it didn't feel like we had any chance to really come back.
This game kind of fell over after the first.
This might be the worst game, I think, so far of the year.
Definitely. I hope that it's the worst one that we have to watch.
Yeah, me too. Gortat had 2 points in 22 minutes of play. Did grab 8 rebounds, which led the team.
And as a whole, like another just kind of silver lining, the starters, all but Gortat, scored in double digits.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
that's encouraging.
Which is encouraging. And like the Tobias cushion wasn't quite there. It was
no.
a little shy with 17 from Toby and 15 from Gallo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Shea had a cool 13. Avery Bradley managed to squeak out 15 points.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to touch on the Avery Bradley thing. Robert Flom
yeah.
brought up a great point on Twitter. Follow him if you're not. The Clippers' best stretch of the entire season was when Bradley was out and Shea started alongside Pat Beverly. Home wins against Wolves, Bucks, Warriors, and Spurs, and away win at Brooklyn, and a competitive loss to the Blazers. That's true.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's especially an issue... It's especially an issue against superior rebounding teams like the Spurs.
Yeah.
You can't miss shots.
No.
So when you have guys out there that are their offense is predicated on shooting, it is not great. Yeah, we got a comment
still
saying Bev's still chucking threes.
Yeah, he is.
yeah.
He loves hurling those threes up. What did he shoot from three?
So let me check this out. Beverly from three shot for a cool 29%.
What's up? that's so not good. And it's that thing where Bradley is just such a detriment on the offensive end.
I mean, I got to disagree with you on this game.
This game, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah, this game he was solid.
The whole year.
Yeah, he shot 75% from three last night.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, I agree. The consistency isn't there. It's really hard for me to judge, though, because it's so apparent that he's a rhythm guy. His game is so predicated on rhythm that they try to get him involved in early plays because they know that they're going to be able to get more out of him offensively if they try to get him involved like right out the gate.
I just wish he would get into rhythm more.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And like I think that a guy who's at this point in his career, and this is nothing bad against Avery Bradley, like he's a solid bench player on a championship team.
For sure.
Is like what is what Avery Bradley is.
LA,
he's not a starter on any I mean, like, on maybe other than the Suns, any other team in the Western Conference.
LA Clippers film room had a funny tweet where they were like, no good playoff team is going to start Gortat and Avery Bradley.
No.
Like, never, not in
no.
2018,
no,
not
I,
now.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a very tough starting five to have going into May.
Yeah, the defensive readjustments are still getting figured out, I guess. The Spurs kind of dictated the pace. They played
the pace. Their game. We both said this. We were watching the game together on the bus. Shout out our bus friends. The pace felt so strange.
In the beginning,
all game.
It was so like choppy. The refs threw out a really weird technical.
Yeah.
The refs also in the NBA, awful this
what
year.
What are you doing?
God, they're
what
bad.
Are you doing right now?
Yeah, the pace was
give
choppy.
Give me your home address.
And I thought at that point we could maybe take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Of like we could maybe grab the game and play like we wanted to, but we just...
Because it wasn't like the Raptors game where they were like totally obliterating us
immediately,
with pace.
Yeah.
It was... You know, it was kind of, it was almost like cat and mousey, I feel like. It was like kind of tentative.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dictated the pace for the, you know, for the final three quarters.
Whole damn game. So, I mean, tough loss. Hey, we didn't lose by 40.
Hey, guys.
So that's good. That's not a kind of all we got on the recap. It's hard to recap games when you get beat by 38.
Yeah.
Everything was bad.
Yeah. And then just another, I mean, just another couple quick stats
yeah.
before we
Stat it
wrap
up.
This one up. Our bench continues to get crushed.
Which is
And this was
good.
Happening even before Lou was out. He yeah. was in somewhat of a, I wouldn't even know if I would call it a slump because it was really only a couple of games.
More of a funk, which is different than a slump.
A little bit of a funk. But yeah, we got outscored 42-25.
Damn,
which,
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, there's so many players. We've talked about this on the podcast before. There's so many players on the Spurs. Like I follow a lot of NBA basketball. If you don't know, we have a podcast about it. And I don't know a lot of these players.
And they're great.
And they're like, and how are they so much better than these guys that I know and
yeah.
love and know can perform really, really well?
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
Any other stats?
Any other stats? There was one brief thing I wanted to touch on.
Ooh, that lead tracker, man.
Yeah, looking at the lead tracker is really rough.
It's not good.
I just wanted to look up a couple bench stats. Oh, okay. Ty Wallace did not have a great game.
No, he didn't.
Unfortunately. So we'll talk about this a little bit more in our Love, Marry, Kill of the bench players. But, man, Ty Wall, we really need you right now.
Cortat and Bradley got to go, man. We agree, just for what? That's the hard thing.
Yeah.
We don't really know what the return would be on that. Coming up after this, we're going to be previewing the game against the Thunder on Saturday night. So, Clippers play the Thunder.
Yep. We're currently 1-1 against the Thunder this season.
Yes.
So, pretty
solid.
We
play in OKC.
Not great.
Not great. They will be on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah. So,
which is tight.
Like, I think that is going to be one of those keys to winning is definitely exploiting that kind of tiredness. They do play the Nuggets, who they've had a rough go against.
I hope it goes to four overtimes tonight.
Yeah, they're one of, I'm pretty sure that OKC is 7-3 in their last 10 games, with those losses coming from the Nuggets, the Pels, and then one weird one. I think it might be the Bulls.
Oof. Man, I hope it was the Bulls. That'd be awesome.
It was the Bulls.
So yeah, if we can kind of jump on them again, we can try and dictate the pace.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be playing a zone defense against us. That was nice against the Spurs. They didn't play a zone against us.
No, OKC already has a pretty evolved defensive system.
Yeah.
And they have really good switch and man-to-man defenders. Obviously, Paul George has been playing really great defensively.
God, he looks good. So what do we got to do to win?
To win? Well, just off the top of my head, this is just one
out
thing.
Of thin air.
I think committing less than 25 turnovers, as we did in the last game against the Thunder, would give us a pretty solid shot at coming home with a dub.
You heard it here first, guys. Don't turn the ball over 25 times. I couldn't agree more. Let's not turn the ball over 25 times, and let's force some turnovers.
Yeah.
Let's get some hands in the passing lane. Shea's been really good about that when he's guarding the person on ball. He's got real active hands and those long arms. I'd like to see some more tipped passes. Just maybe not even forcing a ton of turnovers, but making them second-guess certain passes.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah. Going along with that with the defense, we need to defend the three a lot better.
God damn.
Neither of us is a really high-volume scoring team. Last time we played them, they shot over 50% from three. Paul George has been shooting really well from the three lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, you know, we're not going to get a whole lot of second-chance opportunities against this team.
No. not with our rebounding.
Yeah, and so it's going to be really important for guys like Tobias and Gallo to, get open, get good looks, and knock them down.
Yeah. Another one. We have to, if we need to make shots. These are, this was what
any
sucks.
Shots. When any shots. Threes. In the paint. When, anything you got.
When the team isn't playing well, it sucks because it's like, what do we need to do to win? Make shots.
Yeah. Like, definitely. And I honestly think that was the bigger problem last night.
Yeah,
the last
we got
couple
the shots
games.
We wanted. They just weren't really falling.
Yeah.
If we shoot around 38% again, I think we're going to see a worse scoreline tomorrow than we did yesterday.
Oof-da.
Like, I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
Tobio needs to shoulder more of the load with no Lou. Those guys need to step. I know that Lou is a bench player, and it's a big loss to our bench, but it would be nice if the starters can give the bench a little bit more of a cushion to kind of play with how poorly our bench has been playing.
Absolutely. And, I mean, these are two guys. You know, we keep talking about it. These are near max
there
to max
are
guys.
There are two guys right now. They're one and two.
Yeah. And
for scoring.
You know, I like both of these guys. I would like to continue to see them stay here. I don't know what the point is of re-signing Tobias if we're unable to get that kind of performance out of him.
Yeah, he's had...
The market is just too wide this year.
For sure. And he, I just want to see him take more control. He's taken control of a couple games this year.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't want to say on accident. He looks a little aggressive, but it's just kind of like everything has to go right for him to take control. He never just makes it go right, if
yeah,
that
he's
makes
not,
sense.
It, yeah, it's like he has to be asked versus doing it, if
yeah.
you ever get in that argument.
Yes, I am currently in a similar argument.
But yeah, you know, he's even had some great scoring in losses where in the fourth quarter, you know, he's non-existent.
Yeah,
which and so we really need him.
What could go wrong?
Oh, man.
They have, I mean, Russ could go off. Paul George is playing it. Maybe some of his best basketball of his career.
It definitely looks like it right now.
And they have a center who eats up rebounds and can score.
Yeah.
So they have three guys that can kill us in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like their length is going to give us trouble, as a bunch of these teams have. It tends to make our ball movement non-existent. And that makes, I mean, the entirety of the offense stops.
And Russ hates... Patrick Beverley. So just got a hashtag Free Motley. Free Motley. Shout out to Clipper Nation for really jumping on that train.
Yes, please.
We want that to happen. We think because of the weird defensive stuff they're trying to do, that might not, because they don't want to bring a new guy in.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting take that you brought up, given like the growing pains that the starters and the
yeah.
guys who have been playing together for a while are already having with this new defensive system.
Not saying we don't want Motley, but from a coaching standpoint, it seems hard to bring a young dude in.
It's understanding why you would be hesitant to bring someone new in when the guys that you kind of have already been rolling with for a while are having trouble.
Yeah. Another way we could, what thing could go wrong, just Adams dominates the boards.
Yeah.
And we have another one of these classic Clippers meltdowns where we get beat in fast break points and points in the paint.
Definitely.
Which just sucks to read.
Yeah.
What else could go wrong?
I think if we're unable to maintain like a physicality with them,
yeah,
it's going to be a really rough night for us.
Yep, absolutely.
If we get frustrated and start fouling and stuff like that, I know we touched on that a little bit earlier, but you know, they're like, these guys are a gritty team.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if we're unable to sustain that level of play, it's going to be a really rough night.
Getting into some key matchups, Russ versus Bradley. I just kind of mentioned it.
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
And Russ, I think we're in the detriment of this, because Russ is a player where if you hate him and he knows that you hate him, that ratchets his intensity from an 11 out of 10 to like a 15 out of 10.
Well, it appears that he hates Beverly and Trez as well. So three dudes.
God damn it. That sucks. So this could go bad, or Russ gets really frustrated and kind of gets bottled up and starts doing that, you know, bad Russ thing where he like jacks up threes.
Definitely.
That would be great.
Yeah.
If we could force him to shoot more,
yeah.
But he's so athletic. What else? What do you see for a key matchup?
I want to see Boban versus Adams. He played less than 10 minutes last time. He didn't have a particularly great game, but I would like to see him just even as a body out there.
Yeah, toss him in.
Yeah, until he fouls out or passes out.
I like that. Foul out or pass out. Damn, that's the Coach Updike motto right there. You're fouling out or you're passing out. No one's resting. You're running a 6-man rotation. If you're
oh yeah,
coach.
I'm Tibbs.
Yeah. PG versus Tobias.
Yeah.
This is going to be big. This is a big litmus test for Tobias right now. We're playing poorly. This is a great opportunity for Tobias to really just hoist himself to like the team leader in terms of watch what I do and let's all feed off of this.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there are some nice advantages for Tobias over a Paul George. He has a little bit of, he has some size on him,
mm-hmm.
Both in length and, I mean, weight.
Yeah.
He's a bigger dude. So he should be able to like use that physicality in the post. Also, he has that nice, like really high arcing mid-range jumper,
yeah,
which I think that even if Paul George has got his hands up and is like really bothering him, he should be able to let it fly.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. You know, Tobias isn't necessarily like a big playmaker, so he's gonna need to be. He's going to need to be better in the ISO if he's getting the ball in a one-on-one situation with Paul George.
And then we said this last time, just Trez versus a slump. Yeah. This goes into bench versus bench. We have a better bench than they do. Schroeder's great for them. But overall, theoretically, we have a better overall bench.
We should have the advantage there. So it hasn't really been showing up in recent games. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I just really hope these guys can get back into a rhythm.
Hope Ty Wallace can play a little bit better.
Yeah, really. And I mean, even more than that, just have fun playing basketball
again.
Have
some fun, guys.
I would rather watch this team having fun and losing than like the performance last night.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be another high-scoring one. Yeah. I hope that we're able to break 100 this time.
God, me too.
So I'm going to say 115 to 108 Clippers.
Nice. I'm going to say 110, 105 Clips. So in the same range.
All right.
We're going to see what happens. That's going to be at Talking Stick Arena where they do a pre-National Anthem prayer, which makes everyone uncomfortable.
Yeesh. But this is going to be, I feel like this is just going to be a true test of our offense, which so far has not really been making the grade, but tonight they've got a good opportunity.
Tomorrow night. if you're listening tomorrow, it would be tonight.
All the days blend together after a loss.
When you're losing by 40. Coming up after this, some Pacific Division power rankings and love, marry, kill.
All right. So is there any even? Let
some
me look
fool
at our
just
notes.
Said 120-93 OKC. Get off our stream. No.
And who maybe, is this guy?
Who knows? This clown, get out of here. So let's do some Pacific Division rankings first.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to look at our notes first. Is there even any difference between yours and I's?
No.
They're the exact same.
Yeah.
So on top, again.
Golden State. Reinvented the internet or whatever they did up there. They're just playing great basketball. Number two.
They did get beat recently, though.
Yes, they did. But they're still Golden State.
Yeah.
So it still sucks. Number two, Clippers.
Yeah. Clippers are still, I mean, we're tied with...
it's Cooperman. God dang it. Shut up, Cooperman. Classic Coop.
we are... I believe there's another basketball team in Los Angeles that we are currently tied with.
Yes, we are currently tied with the Los Angeles LeBrons. I put them at... So we have the Clippers, then we have the Lakers. I put the Lakers at 2B.
They're firmly at 3 for me.
Okay. They're just... They got worked last night, so that was nice.
And you know, until you play the Kings of LA,
you're nothing.
But yeah, and then three, the Lakers. Man, they're looking good. They're getting some stuff figured out. Looking forward to that matchup.
I'm kind of, but I'm also a little terrified.
Oh, I'm nervous, but I think it'll be good. I think that we just tend to play up to adversity pretty well, especially at Staples. I think it'll be a good atmosphere.
I hope Trez annoys the hell out of LeBron. That'd be awesome.
In the four spot, I got the Kings.
It's our Kings, baby. They're our sister team. We love them.
And I could hear an argument for them maybe sneaking into that three spot if you call the Lakers and Clippers firmly tied at two, they're technically the three.
Yeah, they're technically the three. I would love it if at some point the Kings vaulted over the Lakers. Honestly, it'd be so funny if the Kings won the Pacific Division. That won't happen.
Yeah,
but that'd be sweet.
Very wild.
And then at the bottom, pretty hard, the Suns.
Suns, man.
They beat the Mavs, which was cool. Charles Barkley totally called it.
I follow Suns Reddit, and everybody was having an upvote party that they are undefeated since that woman went off on Sarver.
Oh, yeah, that was tight. Sarver sucks. It feels like they might tank and then just still have bad luck in the lottery.
Yeah.
Like they'll have like the worst record, but they'll get like again like the fourth pick or something like that.
Totally. Yeah. Which I mean, in this draft, still could be pretty solid.
Yeah, for sure. It's just not what they need. Should we get into some love, marry, kill real quick?
Yeah. So, I mean, given
the bench woes. If you're new to the show, every Friday we play love, marry, kill. We pick a random subject. Sometimes it's fans, sometimes it's giveaways. I don't know. Sometimes it's players.
Mascots.
We're doing the bench tonight. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
So
do it up.
I'm loving Ty Wall.
Can't argue with that.
He's got a ton of potential. I'm very infatuated at the idea of seeing more of him. My issue, I'm not ready to commit because I just don't know if the consistency is going to be there.
For sure. He's very up and down.
He's very up and down. I don't know. I don't know if he's ready to be a provider.
Yeah.
The breadwinner for this two-person household.
Okay, for sure. You're going very old school. Two-person household.
Two person household. Okay. Yeah, there's no kids in the picture. We've discussed it, even though we're not that serious.
All right.
We both know what we want.
Who you marrying?
Mike Scott.
Okay.
He's had some shooting woes, you know? But I think I've said this on the pod before. You know, if you're married to somebody, you put up with some performance woes
sometimes.
That
is true. Not everyone's an all-star all the time.
But even, I feel like what I like about Mike Scott is even when he's not shooting well, he seems, at least to me and to my eyes, has to be adding value.
Yeah, he's got a sick handle.
He's got a fun dribble to watch. You know, he's like a goofy guy.
He's got emoji tattoos.
Yeah, and
you really gotta love someone if you're marrying him with emoji tattoos.
Yeah, we kind of have a an all the small things vibe. If you're familiar with Blink-182, all
right,
always he knows.
Ty and Shay could be the two best offensive PGs in the future. Love Ty. I agree with that.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Shout out. Can't see your username, but I appreciate that.
Hopefully it's the soon future.
Who you killing?
Man, this one really crushes me.
This one hurts.
Trez.
Oof. Sorry, buddy.
Love him to death.
That's why you have to kill him.
This is why I gotta murder him. It hurts. It hurts me more than it hurts you situation.
Yeah, the tears coming down your face.
Yeah.
Oh God.
In this hypothetical situation, the gun has two bullets, and I think you know why.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But at this, I love Trez to death, but I don't recognize him right now.
Yeah, he's a shell of his former self. That's a pretty good love, Mary Kill. Mine is similar, except for this one. Who am I loving? Nobody.
Ooh.
This Clippers bench has turned me into an incel.
Rough.
I don't love anyone on this team.
All right.
I'm not interested. I'm just like, I want something very serious,
You're through with it.
I'm through with
the game. Why bother?
Why even bother? I'm marrying Ty Wallace.
All right.
You know what?
Yeah.
He could have gone to the Pelicans. We took him back. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, we didn't take him back. We matched.
We matched. He came back.
He did come back.
There you go. I like someone who's like, I like that, but I'm going to stick here. These guys were good to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be good to them.
He played the field.
He
knows what he wants now.
Exactly. I was waiting at home being an incel because I didn't love anyone else. And this one hurts. I'm going to kill Milos.
Ooh.
I actually had him in my love category before this.
Okay.
But his turnovers have been, like we said, he has like a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Which is not helpful. At that point, it is nothing.
I don't think he scored a single point last game. His passing can be cool, but he doesn't play defense.
No.
He's just frustrating to watch. He's very up and down, which is not what this bench needs at all right now. It's not what I need in my life at this point. I'm trying to settle down. I don't want some in and out, flashy. You know, we go on a nice date every now and then, and he's just gone.
Yeah,
you know? I don't
that's
want
fair.
That. That's our love, Mary Kill. Let us know what you guys think about that. Milos, Sin, Fursetti. No, we don't want to trade some Darius Thornwell. On Monday, we're going to be recapping the Thunder game. Hopefully that's a victory. Previewing the game against the Blazers. That is on Monday. And then taking a look at some of the new Clippers as we do every Monday on the Freshies.
Freshies.
Guys, I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.